Welcome to this programme in our podcast of highlights from recent discussions in NCSL in Dialogue, Talk to Learn's online community for national education debate, accessed by more than 16,000 school leaders every month. All comments in this programme are represented by the voices of actors.
Moral purpose is one of the foundations of school leadership today, but is it easier to espouse than to practice? In a Talk to Learn discussion on the topic, heads described how a wide variety of issues tested the courage of their convictions on a daily basis. Excluding a pupil is one of the toughest decisions a school leader will have to make, and it raises critical moral conflicts for leaders, as one head described in her turmoil over how to cope with one problem child.
I want to keep the child in school. He's a delight when he's not hurting other children or staff. I want to keep the other children in class safe, and I want my staff to be able to feel comfortable and not as if they're walking on a knife edge. I have lots of agencies involved, but have come to the end of myself in terms of any new resources to put in. I don't want to have to justify every move, but I feel I have to. It's a dilemma.
Justifying every step, at least to oneself, is perhaps the crux of moral leadership, agreed Michael Gallagher.
As head teachers, we have a great deal of power, and there is a temptation to think that our colleagues who just accept the decisions we make simply because we hold that position. Is it not better to constantly check out our decisions in a moral way?
Looking at moral leadership more broadly, headteacher Ian Gilmore described how a new approach with parents at his school has made him appreciate the power he holds as a professional.
A parent complained about a child, and my usual approach would have been to say, I've done A, B and C, and I hope the problem should be solved. More often than not, the parent often says that A, B and C have been tried before and didn't work, and if it was their child, they would have done X, Y and Z. So I simply said I had dealt with it. Interestingly enough, the parent said, OK, thank you, and we went on to discuss some other issues. My thinking is that this is saying to the parent, trust me, I'm a professional, with all the moral implications that I now know that brings.
Taking up the question of what the public expects from professionals, one contributor said heads and teachers often lamented the fact that the role did not command the trust and respect evident a generation ago.
Are we so entrenched in the current focus of accountability that our courage and confidence in our own professional judgment is eroded? By justifying everything to those we feel accountable to, are we actually jeopardising the trust that we're trying to build?
Many seemingly everyday operational decisions have strong moral elements which are sometimes overlooked.
For example, should I let the after-school club have a Halloween party? Should I favour the painter's quote who happens to be a parent of a child at the school? The list goes on. I think we become very adept at using our value system to make decisions, often without realising.
Andrew Evans agreed that there's a moral dimension to many more aspects of teaching and learning than we might think.
I had not considered before that how we assess students, track their progress or group them, had a moral element. I can see now that practical systems can say a huge amount about our commitment to helping every individual succeed and achieve their personal best, a key moral educational principle.
But being challenged about their judgments is something head teachers will always have to contend with, according to Linda Stott.
Skeptics and doubters will always be there to challenge our decisions, and although this is personally draining, I believe that our schools would be poorer places if we did not continually question ourselves as well as our colleagues.
And that completes this programme. Thanks for listening, and don't forget you can subscribe to receive future programmes in this series of Talk to Learn highlights at www.ncsl.org.uk/online communities.
Talk to Learn has over 100,000 members. If you'd like to join, visit www.ncsl.org.uk/online communities.